All right, book of Acts chapter 18. The Bible says in verse 24, it said, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. But there's a problem. He was acquainted only with the baptism of John." Please notice this guy, Apollos. He came to Ephesus, mighty, the Bible says. It's interesting the way it was qualified there, the way Luke qualified him. He said he was mighty in the scriptures. And then he had been instructed in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a man of zeal. He said he's fervent. He was fervent in spirit. And he was speaking and teaching accurately. How? How? He was teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, but within his own limitations, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began, verse 26, to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. That this accuracy has levels. Are you seeing that? accuracy has what? Levels. If you read only that first part, you will have believed that everything that Apollo said must have been correct. But Priscilla and Aquila heard him and said, "This fellow is good. He knows the way of the Lord, but there is a limitation. His accuracy was limited to the amount of exposure he had." So they took him aside and expounded the way of God to him more accurately, because they were more acquainted with the things of the Lord. They were acquainted with more than just the baptism of John. They were acquainted with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. They were acquainted with the teachings that Paul had given to them. Are you getting my point? Paul had come and explained the word of the kingdom to them. So when they heard Apollos, they respected his knowledge, but they knew he had to go a step further. Now, why did I read this? To explain the fact that truth has levels. Last week I began to speak. I tried to summarize the things I said last time. Let me just go through them quickly. So last week I began to talk about the truth of God and why truth is important in life. Let me just give you that title, Life and Truth, for this short series that we're going to be having. And one of the things that inspired it in me, like I said last time, is because of the amount of darkness that the church is walking in right now. And that's not trying to be critical. That's just a matter of fact. I told a man, gave me a book, and the title of the book is 99% of Pastors and Churches Are Going to Hellfire. That's the title of the book. The 99% is quite jolting. All right, but if he had said 80%, 85%, I wouldn't have been moved. I said, that's to be expected. Are you kidding me? Because a lot of people are in this thing because it's a very good and lucrative business. It's a very good and lucrative business. If you know how to do it, you know what I'm going to explain. If you learn the tricks of the trade, you can make a lot of money peddling the word of God. And it's not new. It was like that those days. Paul talked about those who peddled the word of God. They sold it. They sold, you know, did something for it, you know. Somebody showed me a text a man of God sent to her. I had a very good laugh. I was Israel. I said, Israel, read this. You know, there's a trick to it now. I am going to go and pray. I'm going for a retreat somewhere. Send in your prayer points. If you want to participate, send a seed so you can participate. And this was interested me. He said, the seed must be painful. Do you understand my point? It must be painful. I shouted. I laughed. The problem we have with such things is that occasionally you do have what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations, and which are of the true God, but they have been corrupted and given a bad name because people now peddle the word of God. People go around, all right, raising money and collecting a cut of it. It's now common in Christianity. People use familiar spirits and they're in church. That is true. They give you word of knowledge, but it's not the word of knowledge of the Holy Spirit, but it's a familiar spirit that they are using. And like I said to you last time, I don't feel sorry for people anymore. Even though I still have some compassion, really, but I just look at it. You know, this is when I look, I understand what the Bible means when it says Jesus looked and he had compassion of the multitude that they were like sheep without shepherd. As people gather on Sunday morning and go to church, they are like sheep without shepherd. Nobody's telling them the truth. As they are approaching, the person they are going to meet is checking whether they have enough money they are brought today on the Sunday so he can milk it out of their pockets before they leave. That is a matter of fact. Look, if I tell you, let me not give you bad news. I could tell you things that will make you feel very terrible. But what I also like to tell you a bit is that so you won't be shocked when you discover it. So your faith will not fail. Because a lot of people, they are so dedicated. When they now find out what their pastor is doing, their faith will fail. And there's no need for it. There's no need for it. Your faith does not have to fail. Just walk on by. You know, you don't believe in man. You believe in God. Do you follow my point? So if a man fails, that's his personal problem. It is not supposed to affect your faith. I'm just saying the only defense you have is to have truth deposited inside you. There's a lot of darkness in today's Christianity. It bothers me as a person. I said I don't feel too bad for people much anymore because the reason is simply because information is so available, but people are lazy. People don't want to disturb themselves so that they go out and learn. They like their comfort zone. They like to continue in their deception. If I've walked in this particular way for the last 20 years, even though it's wrong, let me die in that way so that at least I will think I live comfortably all my life in my deception. Lest somebody comes to jolt me out of my comfort zone by telling me that all I did in the last 20 years was a lie. So I have to now start re-engineering my life. That is the distress a lot of people cannot go through. But listen to me, there's something Bishop Oyedepo said those days, which I can never forget. He said the Lord spoke to him once, said that no matter how long you have walked on the wrong path, the day you discover it is wrong, are you getting my point? Turn around and start again. And he said another thing, he said, what is the use of speed if you're on the wrong road? Are you getting my point? So it's so important you know that you're on the right road. And don't be afraid to acknowledge it if you discover that you were wrong. Like I said to Christians, I like to say this just to jolt people out of their comfort zone. It's not as if I like to talk about it all the time, but I just like to use it to jolt people out of their comfort zone. If you have been tithing consistently for the last 7 years and somebody told you that that's your passport to prosperity, Pastor Banky came to tell you it is not true. Now, listen, I said that just so that you would. What did you say? Yes, think about it. It cannot be true. The Bible never taught it. You have believed it does not make it right. I like to say that just to help people jolt themselves back into the correct path of life. You must understand that you cannot pay God for anything. You cannot bribe him for anything. And if you say that, okay, but this is what the Bible said. The Bible never said, read from Acts down to Revelation. You will not see it referred to one time as a passport for prosperity. You will see that what the Bible says, like I told you last time I was preaching somewhere, somebody said, what about Jephthah? Jephthah who made a vow to God and God responded. I said, that's a very bad example for a Christian to follow because nobody ever looked at Jephthah and said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give to you. He will give to you. Nobody ever told Jephthah. Nobody ever told Jephthah. It's an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ to tell him that if I don't make a vow to God, he will not do anything for me. It's an insult because he said to you, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. I'm not even saying that I will beg the Father for you. I'm telling you that the Father loves you by himself. If the God of the heavens loves you that much, you should understand. You don't make deals with him. You obey him. What did I say? You obey him. What God asks from you is what? Obedience to his word. We've talked about the word of God that has different parts. There's a promise of God. There's a principle of God. There are the testimonies of God. There's commandments. Check all of them as it has to do with your life. Obey them and that's it. Breakthrough is yours. Success is yours. Victory is yours. Anything in life, I said it 10,000 times. Anything in life you ever want that comes to your mind as a desire of your soul, ask the Lord for it and leave it there. Do you understand that principle? I'm going to say something here. Truth is important. Very, very important. We cannot continue in deception. You know, I was saying something to you earlier that truth has levels. And that's what I'm talking about today. I'm just going to review what we said last time. Truth has levels. It has levels. The fact that God, something may appear true for a while. I tell you that it becomes error when it crosses certain time zones. Like what happened to all the things Apollos was saying. The problem was that it did not go beyond the baptism of John. And you know that all he said was, what he must have been teaching therefore, is about the kingdom of God that will come. He would have been talking about repentance so that you can participate in the kingdom of God that will come. He would not have thought that that kingdom has already come. Because he was acquainted only with the baptism of John. What am I saying? You may think something was true today. When God gives you more light, he demands obedience to deeper light from you. He does. Just to use that Titan thing as an example again, I have explained to Christians for a long time, I hope you believe it now, that it's absolutely arrant nonsense for you to think you have control over 90% of your income because you have paid off the mafia boss with 10%. For Christians, that does not exist. Every single dime belongs to the Lord. So what do you do as believers? You sit down and inquire of the Spirit. How do I spend my money? Having understood some general principles of life. I'm not talking about that now, but we've discussed it several times. All right? You can read it in my book, Grace to Prosper and How to Work for God. Again, the other one that we just added to it, which is titled, Who We Pay for This. All right? Read it. You'll see the different principles on how to handle money. Now, those are general principles. Like I said, there are now principles and commandments, but there are now testimonies how it has to do with your own life. Are you getting my point? There are places that you're supposed to be more committed to than other places. That's just the way it is. It's personal to you. It's your personal business. But there are general principles you follow in obeying those things. As you enter into, as you move on in life, you must enter into deeper truth. That's what I'm going to explain. Let me continue reviewing the things I said last time so I don't forget. Let me just continue the particular point I made last time. I think that would be a good place to connect it. Let's go back there. The book of John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus was speaking there. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me or through me. Well, I've already quoted it. That's what I wanted to read. John, that's verse 6. Thomas said to him, verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Now, let me just explain why I read this. I read it last time, and then I need to explain it again. Now, listen to this. What is truth? Truth simply is... No, I said that life has an order. Are you getting my point? Truth is not how I feel. You know, if you watch movies, you read books, there's something they keep on saying when they want to talk about love matter. Follow your heart. You've seen it before? You've heard it before? If you've heard it before, say amen. All right. Please, though, don't follow your heart, though. I beg you. I mean, in that sense, you can follow your heart. You know, I said truth has levels, so you have to examine the context in which a statement is made. When people in the world say follow your heart, what they mean is follow your feelings, follow your emotions. All right? And if you've seen where the knowledge of God is lost, all right, either consciously or in practice, one thing you notice that a woman can be married and then her heart is somewhere else. And they will tell the stupid story that truly his heart or her heart was with somebody else. So now she just has to finally obey her heart. That's the heart of the devil. Amen? Yes. Listen, as Christians, we can follow our heart after we have subjected that heart to the will of God. And the only way we will know whether we are following the heart according to the will of God is when we are able to judge it by what is written. He said the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So if the heart says, marry a man, he's an unbeliever, and you love him, at least you can't sleep without him, that's your personal problem. That heart cannot be followed. Because the commandment is expressed and is explicit. Be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I mean, like I say all the time, God does not command concerning that which you have wanted to do naturally. Once there's a commandment, it means that the flesh often will not want to go that way. So the commandment comes to redirect you. Are you getting my point? All right, in the direction of truth. I'm talking about truth. What is truth? That which is in accordance with God's order. Truth is that which is in accordance with the will of God. Truth is that which is in accordance with the righteousness of God. Jesus said, I am the truth. And a man that imbibes truth experiences me, life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Two things I want to emphasize from there is the word truth and the word life. What is life? Life is when things flow according to how God ordained them to flow. That's what life is. That is, if a child is born, God's order is that he should not die young. God's order is that he or she should be healthy. God's order is that they should live long and fulfill the purpose of God for their lives. That's God's order. Are you getting my point? Life is when that is allowed to happen. Death is when things turn against that order that God created. Another good example I like to use all the time. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ and talked about divorce. And he said to them, it was not like that at the beginning. That is, when God put life into it, that was not ever supposed to happen. You get my point? That is, life is when a man marries a woman and literally nothing puts them asunder until death does them part. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is life. And in all the years that they live together, they did the will of God and they enjoyed their relationship. That is what is called life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's an order there. That is, if you imbibe truth, you will experience life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Are you getting my point? And he said, the light shines in darkness. Listen to me. When they tell you that people are oppressed because of ancestral curses, listen to me, it's a fat lie if they are Christians. The only thing that oppresses them is ignorance. Because normally, if the life of God was in them and their light to manifest, he said, it shines in darkness and ancestral curses cannot overcome it. Do you get my point? I was somewhere today and I was in my barber's place. So I saw him with his small flat screen TV. He was crying. I said, what's the problem? We're not joking that there was a lightning strike. He said it was really serious. I think destroyed some things. Anyway, the TV was one of the things that went when the lightning struck in their area. And so he was not saying that, see, that is the protection he has over the place. So that they sent, that's the point, they sent that lightning to some of his boys. Well, he was joking, actually. And so I told him, I said, you see, that's the problem. The Africans, everything is somebody did it. Lightning struck, they sent it. So lightning cannot strike by itself anymore. Somebody must send it. Remember the story I told? A man drove into the bush. What was the next thing he said? Who is doing this to me? He did not sleep at night. But this is the point I'm going to make. Listen, for Christians, we don't even reason like that at all. Because our light shines even in the midst of darkness. And darkness is not able to withhold its shining. Darkness is not able to prevent it from manifesting. And Jesus said, if we are going to experience that life, we must be in conformity with truth. That's what I'm trying to explain. Truth is being in conformity with divine order. Truth is that which agrees totally with what God has said. I said life has an order. Are you getting my point? And listen to this. The degree of agreement that your life has with divine order is what decides the amount of God that you will experience. Listen, I teach this to my wife. You know, when I'm not explaining some things to her and all of that. The increase in your life, listen to me. Let me say it again. The leaps in your life, they are tied to the amount of truth, deeper truth you connect with. Listen, whether you're a businessman, a husband, a wife, a student, whatever it is, if you want increase in your life, you must connect with deeper truth. It said, a remnant of the house of Judah shall first take root downwards, and then they will bear fruit upwards. Go and read it in Psalm 1. The righteous man, they said you should mark him. He said, he's like a tree firmly planted by what? Rivers of water. And that is why his leaves do not wither, because of where he's planted. His roots are down. He said the cedars of Lebanon, he was described. He said the waters made them grow. The deep made them high. If the water they have is shallow, the limits of their height is very small. But if they go for deeper waters, it allows them to grow to higher levels. Do you get my point? The amount of God that you manifest in life is directly tied to the amount of truth your life adheres with. Listen, if you are doing business as a Christian, listen, I told you before, we are not normal people. You hear what I said? We are not normal people. We are not normal people. We are not average people that if you go to, you learn how to connect with people, you learn how to grow your business. That, for us, is not like that. We connect with truth, we get a level of manifestation. Many years ago, Benny Hinn was in Benin, and he said something, he was analyzing some scriptures. I went for the meeting then in Church of God Mission, and he said that you see the elders will shout, "Holy, holy, holy." He said this will happen. Now, I don't know exactly how he deduced that, but I love the description, all right? That what used to happen is that every time they see a revelation of God, they shout, "Holy." That every time they see another revelation of God, they shout, "Holy." That what God does is to reveal himself. And one of the things that I believe very totally, very, very seriously, I believe has been absolute truth. The major thing that God is trying to do in your life is to reveal himself to you. That's what he's trying to do. Listen, because if you see God, his life is automatically transmitted into you. He said, "We shall see him as he is, and therefore we shall be like him." Are you getting my point? Listen, except a man can see, he cannot enter. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's how it is. Except you understand things, it is truth that brings life into your system. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's why Christians must enjoy solitude. You must plot your life so that you have time for quietness. You must plot your life so that you have time for discoveries. It is the amount of discoveries you make in life concerning the things of God that decides the amount of God that is manifested in your life. Unfortunately, you know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But people say, "Well, you shall pray plenty, and prayer shall make you free. You shall connect, and connection shall make you free. You shall go to church a lot, and going to church shall make you free. You shall give plenty offerings, and plenty offerings that you have given shall make you free." Jesus never ever said that. What did he say? You shall know the truth. It is the revelation that you have that determines your freedom. Do you get my point? Listen, there's a story I'd like to tell. You know, in fact, you've heard this. I've said this on several times. Many, many times. Once I was in Lagos, I was studying the scriptures. And the word opened to me. Since then, I've never had problems. That is, people talk about making it. If you go to America, you make money. You go to Australia, you make money. I have never been able to run up and down, jump up and down. Because I found out. He said, "Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream." Look, I can't begin to tell you many of my experiences. Listen, I'm a teacher of the word. So God made sure, all right, that things will go upside down for me if I don't follow divine order. Listen. I don't know. This is a good example. Many of you have to do it anyway one day. Listen. When Christian husband and wife want to have children, if they buy calendar, they won't have. So, I don't know what I'm saying. Ovulation period, if you meet your wife between this time and this time, you will conceive. They wait. You know I'm a doctor. I learned these things. I also tried it. Because the banking, you will see. The day I took, I'm so sorry, I forgot about it. My wife conceived that month. In Jesus' name, I'm not lying to you. Listen, we are spiritual people. And how did I suddenly understand? One day I bought a magazine, and in it, there was a hand that stretched forth like this towards a woman, and there was a baby in the cradle of that hand. Then I understood that it's a gift of God. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen. There are people, and I told you before last time, there are those who are they are praying. "God, give me a husband." And God said, "You're asking for another God." Why? What do you call a husband? The man who will pull me out of this, my poverty. God said, "I am the one that pulls people out of poverty." That if poverty is your problem, pray about it. "I will make you so rich, you will have to reject the money because you will think the money is driving the men away from you." Are you getting my point? Are you getting my point? If you are disturbed, your life is upside down. They say, "Get married, then you'll be able to settle." If that, God says, you need another God. That's what you're asking for as a man. You need another God. And I will not give that one to you. Why? Because that will keep in perfect peace, not the man who is married, but the one whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. A wife can't give to you what God does not want to give you. If God decides that he will bring that peace into your life through a wife, fine. But you cannot say, "God, you know, my whole life, Yeah, I'm so, my BP is high. They say if I marry it will come down. I say, fine. Any deceiving spirit there? I will say, yes. Give him a wicked wife. Your BP will double. He said, Lord, what should I have done? He should have simply prayed. I will have given you an understanding that when a man keeps his mind stayed on me, I keep him in perfect peace. If I decide to use a wife, fine. If I decide to use a dog, fine. If I decide to get him a horse, fine. But peace comes from me, does not come from a wife. What's the point I'm making? Listen, this is what increases Christians. Let's just read that so that you'll be that we're not just quoting off head. Isaiah 37. Verse 30 says, then this shall be the sign for you. You shall eat this year what grows of itself. In the second year, what springs from the same. In the third year, sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. 31 says, and that's how I'm going. I just like to read in context. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. They shall again take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. Let me just read the other one that I quoted for you quickly. Let me just get it out. Ezekiel chapter 31. That's the other one. Ezekiel chapter 31. We must return to what Christianity is about. It's about the word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can receive anything from the Father except his life is conformed to truth, he was saying. That is, you cannot live a lie. A lie just does not mean you know something and you're not telling the truth. And you're not telling the opposite. A lie simply means that you have rejected the truth by not reaching out for it. There are different reasons why people tell lies. There are those who lie because it's comfortable for them, to their flesh, to say the opposite of the truth. But there are those who the Bible says were deceived. Are you following my point? There are those the Bible says they were what? Deceived. What does it mean? The person thinks what he knows is the truth, but the thing is actually a lie. That's what it means to be deceived. And why people get into that is usually when they reject the truth. They don't take the time out to learn it. I have found that a lot of Christians, that's their major problem. Don't even say anything different from what their bishop said. Are you getting my point? It is not whether you are telling the truth or telling the lie that's the issue. The issue is that just don't contradict what their bishop said. Listen, a man can be your pastor and you and him disagree slightly on some fine details. It's not a big deal. You know, how many of you know Peter? Peter, disciple of Jesus Christ, apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter, do you love me more than this? How many of you have ever heard of him? If you have, say amen now. Amen. The Peter that denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. Go and tell my disciples and Peter, that fellow. Please, if your pastor or your bishop or your general overseer or your archbishop or your prelate thinks he's superior to Peter, put up your hand. Yes, ever say, don't mind that Peter guy. I sit around for this revelation. Don't mind the guy. Just a form. At least I have not denied Jesus Christ three times. Please. No man I know on this earth loves to even think about the fact that he's superior to Peter. I'm not saying there's nobody. Maybe you are. But at least you don't even want to think so. I definitely don't even like to talk about that. Are you following my point? Now, why am I saying this? Yet, go and read Paul describe his encounter with Peter in the book of Galatians. That there was a time Peter was in error. And I stood up and I challenged him publicly. Because he was obviously in error. If Peter can walk in error, your bishop can. That's what I'm trying to explain. Your pastor can. Your senior pastor can. Your general overseer can. Your prelate can. Are you following what I'm saying? Christians behave. One day I had a discussion with a friend. I explained something to him. And he told me, are you telling me Ken Hagin is wrong? That was the argument. That you mean to tell me that Ken Hagin is wrong. Because I made a statement that, at least in letters, because there's a difference between spirit and letter, at least in letters, it contradicted something that was popular in Christianity. And he said, you have the boldness to tell me Brother Hagin is wrong. In case you do not know, I can't remember the details now. If he had the opinion against the written documented scriptures and he was wrong, then he was wrong. Why we behave sometimes as if, no, the man cannot be wrong. When I was writing down my book, Grace to Prosper, in the last chapter, when I wrote the chapter, that then the appendix, I didn't even put it in the book because I didn't want, if you read, I introduced it by saying that I don't want controversy. Let people just read, all right? But when I introduced the stuff, I said, I wanted to mention names of people who supported my opinion. Not because I was trying to be popular. Are you getting my point? Or be amongst the boys who know stuff. It's just that I realized that Christians are funny. If you don't mention a big name, they think you're a stupid man. Do you follow my point? Yes. If I started putting the book, when I said, no, why should I? So I said, this is not an issue of who are the big boys on your side, who are the big boys against you. Because I had some big names to mention. In fact, one brother used to be with us here when he was in Enugu, but he's left town now. He sent me a book by Watchman Nee that expressed my opinion. Watchman Nee in today's Christianity is highly respected. I wanted to quote Watchman Nee. I started quoting Watchman Nee. I pulled it. I said, no, let's just quote the scriptures. Are you getting my point? I said, let's just quote the scriptures. Let's quote the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's quote the immediate apostles that he committed his words directly to. Hopefully, that should satisfy a lot of Christians. But listen, do you know it still doesn't satisfy many people? Because, after all, their senior pastor has raised the dead. A man who can raise the dead knows every inch of the Bible correctly. That's where we reason. Forgetting that Jesus said in the last days, many will come to me and say to my face, I raise the dead. I belong inside there. And I will say to them, get out from here, you worker of iniquity. Are you getting my point? There's a video I stumbled on. I was looking for something. I found something else. They referred to it. So I downloaded it. In fact, I'll give it to Israel. Maybe just play it here. People, by one Ugandan pastor who had the revelation. And the Lord said to him that if I were to come today, you wouldn't go with me. And it's about 1 hour, 30-minute video. I finished watching it yesterday. Interesting. The point is that he said it shocked him why. He was a leading evangelist in that district. And if it is miracle, they used to do it, you know, recklessly. That is, when he showed up for a meeting, maybe he's about to go, they rush some people in. People get healed as he's leaving. Yet the Lord appeared to him and said, oh boy, the way you are going, you soon end up in a place where you don't desire. He said, me? With all these miracles? That is, if he's soul winning, he will come to a place, they will preach, and church will start the following week, 200 members. Not, you know, most Christians, most churches in Nigeria start with members that were somewhere else and relocated. Yeah, I don't mean that's an insult, just a fact. No. No, why are you people laughing? Is this a lie? But his own is like these people were idol worshippers. They were hidden people. They were Muslims. Then they will finish preaching. The people will give their lives to Christ. And next day, church is 200 members. Yet in the midst of all of that, the Lord was looking at him and said, I will soon flog you. What am I saying? Any human being can be wrong. That's why when Peter was wrong, Paul stood up and said, Peter, I don't believe you are doing this. I don't believe you are doing this. He challenged him publicly. How can you now be making a distinction between Jews and Gentiles? You, Peter! And Peter had no response. If Paul was not there that day, somebody would have written a book. I was present when Peter showed up and said, Jews to this side, Gentiles, Christians to this side, which is what we are still doing till today. God loves the Jews, and if you have a Jew in your business will prosper. Have you heard that lie? Any country that has diplomatic relationship with Israel will prosper. Any country that has diplomatic relations with the Lord Jesus Christ will prosper. That is the truth. Now, I'm not emphasizing something, please, again. Now, listen. Truth is not in the mouth of one man. It's not. I said something to you before. I don't like to say it, but it's the truth. You've heard me teach over the years, many of you. You've read my books. You've listened to my CDs and all of that. If tomorrow, I don't plan to go mad, though, amen. I plan to remain spiritually together like this. But if tomorrow, you hear this man don't begin teach, say TB Joshua is the greatest man of God in this generation, just carry your Bible. Check the date you heard it for the first time. Buy all the tapes and CDs before that day and go away. Just look for all the CDs I preached before that day. Buy them quickly before they get polluted, because these things, they spread. Buy them quickly. Put them in a bag. Say, Israel, will they pray for you? Just go away. Don't say, no, I know Pastor Banki. He can never. Listen. Until we die and get to heaven, be watching me with microscope. Until Jesus comes back and I'm still intact, just carry your microscope, be checking. When I wake up, I greet you, check. Is it the same guy who greeted me yesterday? Because, you know, in Jesus' name, it don't happen to me, amen. Paul said, I'm convinced of better things concerning you. I'm convinced of better things concerning myself. I pray for myself every day. I'm just trying to tell you, if I go wrong tomorrow, it doesn't mean I was wrong yesterday. It just means I began to smoke. You did not know. Maybe you see a new friend around me. The guy, I feel cool. They give me cocaine for night. You know they there. You don't realize it. So after some time, I come for Bible study. Praise God. It's like God spoke to me this morning that there are two key figures that if you press, hallelujah. The first one is 20. The second one is 20. Third one is 30s. You put it together, it's 15 million. If you can give the Lord 15 million, you're like, once you hear that, just carry your Bible, see how they come. Israel, please give me all the CDs before yesterday. Are you following my point? Are you getting my point? If you hear that, I drove my wife away, married another one, then I now came with the scripture. The conditions for ejecting your wife, when she does not help your ministry progress, because I start explaining, don't be angry, just carry your Bible. Just say, Pastor, it's okay, we'll be praying for you. You know, what happens? A lot of people start rearranging the Bible to suit their own iniquity. Yes, people do it. It's because the man is now in sin. He has eyed the girl he wants to marry. Time he's fighting his wife and driving her away, he don't eye the other woman. You see, anytime I'm with her, I feel like there is this bond. You know, I'm at peace. And my spirit begins to move. And revelation starts coming closer and closer. In fact, this, you know, that time I wanted to marry, my friends were not happy with the wife I married. It's now I understand it was not the will of God from the beginning. It happens a lot in America. So they now sit on television. Say, pastor that has gone through three wives. There was one, he married the first wife. Nobody talk. Marry the second one. The first one is okay now. You should marry the first one. Amen? He divorced that one, marry the second one. Brethren, look, they had mercy on him. That maybe the wife, maybe she sinned. Maybe she backslid. Let's forgive him. Then when he drove that one and married the third one,
Now, brethren, I say, bros, we don't try. This is still America. It's not yet Sodom and Gomorrah. Men carry their Bibles. Church went down from 5,000 one Sunday. After the announcement, next Sunday, they were 500 members. 4,500 people realized that, oh boy, we have followed this guy far enough. He used to write a lot of joke all over the world that time. You know, there are gospels I never believed. What I'm saying is that, so if you see it happen to a man of God, please, don't be angry. I mean, like, don't feel like this Christianity is not true. It's just another guy that began to smoke. Are you getting my point? And it happens periodically. And according to Charles Price, is it Charles Price? Yes. He said you should understand that this battle is tough. That those are wounded soldiers. They have become weak. Are you getting my point? So I don't mean it as mockery. I'm not mocking anybody. I'm going to explain something to you. That's, you know, I give myself as an example first, that if I start it, all right, that's why in life you must be careful. Listen to me. You must be careful that the devil does not wear you out. When I wrote that book, How to Work for God, I talked about the work of God, the work of rest. Are you getting my point? Nobody should lie to you that souls are perishing. You have no time to rest. Jesus, after he sent the disciples out, they came back. They were so excited. You know, the anointing. The anointing is exciting. Very exciting. There are things I hear people say, I say, I will never do it. The other day, I told you, I heard them, Andrew Womack say he preached how many times in 2 weeks? Is it 72 times in 2 weeks? The examples I don't follow. The examples I don't follow. Premature death examples, I don't follow them. There's examples. No, I'm not going to follow you preaching. You're preaching 72 times in 2 weeks. What's wrong with you? Ask Jesus Christ that saved the world. He didn't even do it. After preaching, enter boat, disappear. People could follow and you don't go hide from one corner of one mountain. Only the disciples knew how to negotiate the quarrel to get there. So they are looking for it. They don't mind them. Now who they go kill? Did they find? It's true. To rest is the work of God. Amen? To rest is the work of God. Amen? When the disciples showed up, they were full of anointing. They said, man, oh God, I do like this. Two demons went in seven different directions. Baba. Oh yeah, yeah. Where's the next mission field? He looked them, shake head. He said, come aside and rest for a while. I mean, when Jethro saw Moses, Moses was so zealous, a man who had been to the presence of God. Yet when Jethro saw that man of God, Jethro said, man of God or no man of God, you will soon die. And God, you must understand the way God is. There's a God that expects to follow divine order, even though he has an anointing over your head. I told you, when Moses, that same Moses broke divine order, with the calling and anointing of God, God came to kill him. And so what happened to Moses? Moses was sitting there morning, afternoon, and night doing work of ministry. Jethro looked and said, this guy won't survive this thing for long. And he told him in simple words, the things that you are doing, all right, they are not good. You can't handle this thing like this. As I was shouting for Chinedum just now, I said, if you expect me to come here and supervise generator and then come and preach to you, I'm not coming here to come and watch how you connect generator. And then at the end of the day, I carry the microphone and come and preach. I must have energy to love my wife and to be father to my children. Amen? It's true. Moses wasn't doing that. He was becoming useless to everybody. He did not know it. Thank God for his father-in-law, Jethro. And whether you like it or not, Jethro or not Jethro, that thing still killed Moses. Now read my article. Called Why God Killed Moses. There were two times God wanted to kill Moses. That is, two times he made an attempt on the life of Moses. The second one, he succeeded. The first one, Zipporah saved his life. Why did God kill Moses? Moses was worn out. He was used until he began to tell lies. Don't think you can lie. You can lie. You can steal. Don't think that you can't collect somebody else's wife. Make them leave you first. When you are spiritually worn out, any man is capable of anything. Moses began to tell lies. They don't come again. So we have to Aaron, leave them. We'll give them water. We, water works. We, miracle worker. Because they, ye, Moses. In case you are wondering, why did God not forgive Moses? It was too dangerous to forgive it. Moses was worn out. The time Moses began to make those blunders, it was a sign of the weakness of his soul. So the Bible says, the righteous man perishes, no man takes it to heart. What happened was that Moses had to perish because of his righteousness so he can enter into rest.
God did not actually punish Moses. God withdrew him from battle. What's the name of that commander in Afghanistan? He criticized Barack Obama once he retired from the army. That was last year. What's the guy's name? Who can remind me of his name? That American general. He was a commander of the American forces in Afghanistan. He uttered one statement in private to a reporter about Barack Obama. He doesn't know why the president is doing like this. The president should have left him alone. He'll have dealt with those guys. Something like that. That was it. Next day, they are relieved him of his duty. They are retired him from the army. Because there are things you don't do against the commander-in-chief. You don't criticize him. You don't laugh at him. Every joke he tells you must laugh. Why? Because he may be wearing, you know, shirt and tie. He's a commander-in-chief. What am I saying? I've forgotten the guy's name. I forgot his name, just escaped me now. What is his name? But the point I'm making is that why was he talking like that? It's simple. He was battle worn out. The fight in Afghanistan was getting to his head. So they took him out and said, go home and go and sleep. Do you follow my point? Charles Price said, listen, some of those men of God, they are worn out. You preach morning, afternoon, and night. Nobody's preaching to you. You preach morning, afternoon, and night. You don't take leave. We must redeem this nation. By the 15th year, you start telling lies. You're not a wicked man. You're worn out. That's why I made my vow long ago. God helped me to continue to observe it. Every year, I take a whole month in which I don't preach to anybody. I intend to increase it. I take a whole... What did I say? Yes, every year, I take a whole month. Very soon, I'll increase it to 2 months. 2 months of just flinging. Attending other people's meetings. Reading books. Not going anywhere. Not even driving a car. When it reaches that level, I'll sit at the back. You need it if you are going to survive in this ministry. So a lot of people, you see that they start misbehaving. Then sometimes, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, when all your colleagues, you know, when you were in school that time, praise God, all of you were zealous. You went into ministry. That guy decided to be an engineer. One became a businessman. One became a politician. Let's make a long story short. Of all you and your friends who were very zealous for the Lord, everybody, you're all 50 years now. They've all built houses apart from you. You've confessed the house. You even had Bishop draw it and give it the 3D. It's on your table in the glass showcase, the way architects do it. You say, Bishop, yeah, draw my own house like this, every morning. Hallelujah. I speak to this house, you are growing. In fact, the model is falling apart from your confession. After a while, you go read the Bible again. Somebody will say to you, turn your stones to bread. Are you not hungry? What's your own stone? Microphone. The people listening to you. If I say everybody put up your hand now, you know you put up your hand. Let's test it. Everybody please put up your right hand. See? Even though you know I'm testing you, put up your right hand. So if I say put that hand in your pocket, you will soon put it there. Bring out everything that is inside. The first day you see it, you do it. 100K. Oh boy. You don't plot them. This one will buy the land. This one. Ah! Say, God, just for 2 years, let me collect their money. Why? You want to equate with your friends. Those are the pressures that make women of God their lies. Certain time I want to come on television like this, the Lord begins to speak to me and he says that there's a mystery behind 7 and 7. If you are going to give $77 today, I go put my hand like this. Money. Money is powerful. Go and read it. Balaam. Balaam was an Obonge prophet. He will go, knock, go. They will say, who is that? He says, Balaam. The Lord will say, enter. By the Lord, there are some guys there. That is, he was such a predictable prophet. He didn't used to miss it. His prophecies were dead on balls accurate. And Balaam showed the guy money. Father! Balaam went and said, Lord, let's do this. Come on. Are you saying we should not go? The money is good, though. We're going to give a tithe. Come on, we're going to give an offering from this thing. Come on, Lord. Let's just explain it.
Start explaining the wealth of the wicked is yours for the taking. This is how you are going to take the wealth of the wicked. Start explaining. That's what happened to Balaam. Why am I saying all of these things? You, a child of God, don't worry. If a man of God misses it, none of your problems. Pray for him. He may just be a man who's worn out. Are you getting my point? Because he's worn out. The curse of this world, they have now finally pushed him in. Now he's begun to peddle the word of God. Don't look at one man and say he can never make a mistake. He can. But if he makes a mistake and you identify it, you just go and pray. Study the scripture. If a man is wrong, he's wrong. Like I said, one of the problems with the body of Christ today is that too many people are teaching who don't have the anointing to teach. Because if you try to teach publicly without an anointing, even the truth you are trying to pass across will cause confusion where it goes. That's why Smith Wigglesworth said, I know so much about God, much more than I'm able to teach. Because if I were to teach those things, I lose the ability to win souls. He understood divine order. So the man never wanted the pulpit to start trying to decode scriptures like people like William Marion Braham. William Marion Braham decided to do that. He had this Wigglesworth-like anointing. So he decided to start teaching, and that was it, confusion. People are still following his teachings till today. You see his pamphlets. They are titled In the Days of the Voice of the Seventh Archangel. The pamphlets are around confusion. Because a man didn't have the unction to do what he was doing, he decided to do it. Why am I talking like this? Just to let you feel safe. You follow a man for a while, listen to his words, he decided to go crazy. Don't feel like the word is not true. Just mark the date that his deviation began. Buy the books before that day, the CDs before that day. Pack those ones and go home and start praying for him. Start praying for him. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't say he can never be wrong. There were men who were right and they became wrong. Solomon was right. Then one day, you saw Brosolo, he dressed up, was carrying idol, following one young chiquito to a to shrine. Old men, they get tired. His age, all the problems of this life. And Solomon's problem was that he gave his strength to women. Marrying too many wives is very bad. Even David, and I told you before, David, you know, he at the age of 70-something, David was too weak to go to war. I was fighting like this. 70-something. Come on, read the story of Caleb. Caleb was 85. Carried his sword. Bam. Oga Josh, can I take the mountain? I feel just like I did 45 years ago when Moses gave that commandment. 85, Caleb led an invasion into a mountain that was full of giants. So David becoming weak at 70-something, that small boys are having to defend it. From now, you will not follow us to battle, lest the light of Israel be quenched. It's too many women. He never hears it. Nabal never even cooled down in death. He don't marry a wife. When he restored his throne to him, first he collected back was Michael. Now, Super Bowl just arranged the women. One after the other. The day they got to his house, Absalom, what did Absalom collect from him? Concubines. Hey! You want to fight with concubines? It's not possible. Or is the Bible says it clearly, don't give your strength. Now he gave it to Solomon. Solomon began to dream dreams. Baal can also be a manifestation of God. After you've gone to bed with Egyptian women, you will see sarcophagus. You will think it is God. What am I saying? These are the things that make men derail. If you follow a man to a point, Solomon is writing wisdom. After a while, he married Egyptian woman, collect the book, say, okay, go and buy another book. This one is our own. The one he wrote before he married Egyptian woman, collect that one. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? I don't know why I'm just sitting on these things. So if you see two men of God disagreeing, don't be angry. One of them has gotten fed, he's fat, the other one is hungry. That's why they are disagreeing. The word of God has not changed. The word of God has what? It has not changed. It has not changed. You follow the word of God, you'll be saved. All right? Ezekiel chapter 31, I was reading the scripture there, right?
He said, Son of man, verse 2, say to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom are you like in your greatness? Behold, now I want, the story here is not about Pharaoh, it's not about Assyria. What I want from here is the characteristics of the cedars in Lebanon that God described. He said, behold, verse 3, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon with beautiful branches and forest shade and very high. And its top was among the clouds. And that was literal. That was literal. The waters made it grow. That's where I'm going. Verse 4. The waters. Now, let's go back to verse 3. Assyria was a leader, a cedar in Lebanon with beautiful branches and forest shade. That is, it was of great influence and very high. Don't forget, when Nebuchadnezzar dreamt the dream, he saw himself in his greatness as a great tree that was very high, that had a lot of shade, and many animals were nesting in his shade. That this was a sign of prosperity, of greatness, of influence, of glory. He said it was very high, verse 3. And his top was among the clouds. Notice, that was what Nebuchadnezzar said. I will exalt myself above the clouds. That is, he's talking about glory. But how did he get here? That's the question. Verse 4. He said, the waters made it grow. The deep made it high. That's New American Standard rendering. That is, the deep waters. Those are the things that made it high. With its rivers, it continually extended all around its planting place. And it sent out its channel to all the trees of the field. Therefore, its height was loftier than all the trees of the field, and its boughs became many and its branches long because of many waters as it spread them out, its branches and its roots. He said, all the birds of the heavens nested in its boughs, and under its branches, all the beasts of the field gave birth. Verse 7 says, so it was beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its branches, for its roots extended to many waters. Let me stop there. What am I describing? The beauty of the cedar in Lebanon. This is a secret of its beauty. It's the deep roots that it puts down. As the roots is spread to many waters. A lot of Christians can't prosper far because their root is sunk into only one water. Only Pastor Banky, as an example. I don't know whether I get my point. Some people go to church. You know, I told you, there are different parts of the Word of God. And let me add this on to it. There are different ministers of the Word. There's a very popular church in Nigeria. My friend, any member of that church, my friend feels sorry for them. Because their pastor is very encouraging. He's always motivating them. The message is 25 minutes on a Sunday. Encouraging. I'm very motivational. Is it a good message? Yes. Is it a bad message? No. But if you chop that alone, it's like you wake up in the morning, children, bread, all of you. No milk, no meat, nothing. Plenty of bread and water. After 6 months, all the children will be sick. Are you getting my point? You need prophetic words. Things that somebody like me may not give out often. That's why, you know, God taught me that long ago. So I recommend preachers. I will tell you, there is this book. Go and read it. I don't know everything. If I knew everything, God would have made me hard to teach everybody in the world. I saw a man on TV, he said he's the bishop of the whole world. He said something is wrong with you. Only you. Are you not even afraid? You open your mouth, you just say some things, boah, like that. You know they buy filter. You know, human beings are funny. Are you not afraid? If the whole world wants to come to some pastor's church, they are happy. Our church is growing. You should be afraid. You should be afraid. I don't want the whole world to come to a church and pastor it. Because that's a Moses principle. I'll soon die. What am I going to say? I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about the follower now. He said, this cedar spread its roots to many waters. He said, take hold of one and don't let go of the other. That's what the Bible says. That's why I like, look, listen. I told you once, I went somewhere, I bought a book by a man that my friends were not so into his teachings. So I just bought the book, one of his books. So my friend saw me, but he said, what are you buying that for? He knew that that guy was not our man. Are you getting my point? You know, you tend to have a kind of person as your person. So why are you buying his book? I said, well, there are things that only he will understand, really. And which God says, if I don't read from him, I won't get from anywhere else. Let me just read it. Let me catch that one. Then I can drop him after. As the man was listening to, he was insulting black people, calling them monkeys and all kinds of things. He didn't use the word monkey, but used things worse than monkey. And I was in, look at this man. What's wrong with him? Why can't he be talking this kind of nonsense? Can you get away from there? And I was listening to the message. I tell my wife, look at this. What kind of rubbish is this? I kept on. After my wife said, wait. Why are we listening to this? The man is insulting you. You are getting angry. And you are still there listening to him. Oh, I said, my baby. I was talking to my wife. I said, the truth is that there are things that only he understands. We have to hear that one before we throw away the rest. He wrote a book, Christian at Ease. He was a military man. He gave you the different strategies for achieving peace as a believer. I have never seen a book that comes close to his on that subject. Insult me from now till tomorrow. I will read it. After all, the Lord Jesus looked at the woman who came for healing. He said, bingo, confess. Is it right to give the children's food to the bingos? If he's a typical person now, this is discrimination. Somebody is suing Bishop for slapping somebody. You know, they say Bishop Oedipo slapped somebody. One man dragged him to court for abuse of human rights. I said, Bishop Oedipo slapped. You should go and frame the slap. What is wrong with you? I mean, anointing is slapped. You should be happy. It's contact and transmission. You will prosper. I'm telling you, perspectives. The Lord Jesus, he told the woman, is it right? The woman was begging for something. And he said, this is how it is. The Jews are the children, and you guys are the dogs. Is it right to give the children's bread to dogs? The woman did not get angry. He said, maybe out of order. But when crumbs fall, when the children are full and they are fed and they are letting food drop on the floor, what is wrong if the dogs eat the ones that have fallen to the ground? Jesus said, that is a revelation. He said, be it to you according to your faith. He said, go. Your faith has made you whole. Great is thy faith. Are you getting my point? He said, daughter, great is thy faith. Go. Your daughter is well. That's a woman they call a dog. If I call you meh, you won't come here again. What am I saying? So the man was insulting me, so what? The teaching he has on faith and rest for a Christian, I've not heard it anywhere else. He preached that message in 1960-something. I have the two books in my house, the big one and the small one. I've not heard that message anywhere else till today. The only other person I've heard preach it is me. And I heard it from him. Insult me. I will buy your tape. No matter how nice you are to me, if you're not telling the truth, I won't buy. He said, this cedar spread its root to many waters. The deep waters was what accounted for its great height. Maybe because of time, I want to close. Next time, I'll go on to, into that. I began to say today, your level in life now is not ready to change until you settle down and say, God, I need a new level of light. I need new understanding. Because what carries you as a believer is the fresh light of God that you get. If you find your life running around in circles, you need something new. Are you getting my point? You need a deeper level of truth. It's not something that contradicts all you understood before, unless you were walking in a lie, but you just need to understand God some more. I read a man of God, beautiful man of God, I love him so much. When he told the story of his life, when it came to money, prosperity, and all of that, I told myself, you know, the problem, and that's why, listen, some people, you've heard this kind of prophecy before. It's another joke, very common in Christianity. As your pastor prospers, you will prosper. It is true if you listen to only him. But me, that can never happen with me, no matter who you are. You're not the only one I listen to. Yeah, people say that kind of thing. They tell you that as a man of God, he's growing, you too, you'll be growing. And you know, it makes me like Christian who sit there and say, yeah, praise God, that's true, yeah. And I look like, are you all right? Your life is tied to another man. You never heard that after giving you all these prophecies and all these examples, now fix your eyes on Jesus. Everybody's a testimony. As for fixation of eyes, look on Jesus. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Now, this man, when he told the story of his life, and I saw the restrictions, he said all his life, all he ever had was just enough money. If he needed $1,000, he would have something between $999 and $1,001. And if he gets $1,020, he will ask God, what is the extra $20 for? And when he finished explaining, I said, this guy never had the revelation of abundance. He's not a wicked man. I spent my money to buy his books and his tapes, and they were expensive. So he's the man I love. But when I read his teaching, I said, sir, they did not teach you about abundance. They did not teach you about the El Shaddai God, the almighty breasted one. They didn't teach you about him. You will have understood that God does not think this is proper. No. No. Listen, if you have to calculate all the time to be able to remove money, to be generous to somebody else, you have not yet discovered the God of abundance. I read the man's book. I said, is anybody reading this? You must be careful. You must be careful that you don't, because of a man's greatness, you don't step down from the understanding that God gave you before you met him. This is not boasting. There are many great men I've heard, as they are talking, I said, this one, you don't know it. This one, no, you don't know it. I will listen to you on everything, but this one, boy, I leave you alone. Because 10 years ago, I got an understanding from the word of God, which is superior to this one you are talking about. Because I was reading this man's book and I was explaining these things, I told myself, no, now, this is not the revelation of the God of abundance. He said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. This is not wealth. You are managing. You are barely getting along. This is a wilderness experience. Food that just lasts for a few, you know, you get early in the morning. If you don't get out for the day, you're in trouble. I said, no, boy, you have not yet understood the God of abundance. And that's why you should be very careful. You don't criticize things anyhow. When the gospel of prosperity came out, listen, people can make things go crazy. You understand my point? Yes, they get up and, you know, the gospel of prosperity, read my book, Grace to Prosper. I talk about the vow of poverty, and I talk about the vow of prosperity. The gospel of prosperity is a correct gospel. A lot of men took it and turned it to ostentation, you know. They now get up, you see the pastor say, yeah, a pastor must drive an expensive car. It's around nonsense. A Christian can drive an expensive car if he has money for it. Are you getting my point? It's not the privilege of pastors alone. If you are ministering a lot of people that have a lot of money, yes, all of you should drive very nice cars. But that's not all that God is doing. But let me sit on something there. When the gospel of prosperity came, it was a good gospel. It was a correct gospel. Archbishop Benson that also used to say, my God is not a poor God. That is scriptural. Paul said, I have learned to abound and not to obey. So there's an abounding part of God. Do you get what I'm just saying? The gospel of prosperity was a totally correct gospel. Because of the nature, it's easy to corrupt. Are you getting my point? But the gospel has a pure form. And listen, every Christian that rejected this struggled financially. And it was not God's will. Before then, you had holiness movement. Listen, there's nothing you cannot carry into error. Most of those holiness people were hypocrites. I hope you know that. I heard a man telling a story. I don't know where. Okay, yes. It was when the Pastor Ken came to town. About a man, good man all his life. Good guy, never drank, never smoked, never slept with any woman, never. But one day somebody preached to him and said, listen, that will not save you. He went into deeper life. When he was through with being in deeper life, he was smoking, he was womanizing, and he was drinking. Because the deeper life people gave him a Jezebel as a wife. For the first time in his life, he went drinking. For the first time in his life, he began to smoke. He began to hang out in bars. That was when he impregnated a small girl he met there. When he married that woman, he was a virgin. Am I saying deeper life is bad? No. I'm just saying no matter how holy you look outside, evil can be there. If you go to church where all the girls, all their breasts are showing, and get to one day they are covered like Muhammad's disciples, listen, evil is the same proportion, the same. Hypocrisy and licentiousness, the same thing. Both of them will not enter the kingdom of God. No, explain. Everything has balance. When the gospel of prosperity came, the people in the holiness movement that rejected it were poor all their lives. There is nothing wrong with balancing holiness and prosperity. That's why I said, take hold of one and don't let go of the other. He said, the one who's pleasing to God will come out with both of them. Balance, Ed Cole said, is the key to life. Money has no character. Money is not good, it's not bad. It's just money. It acquires character from the life of the person handling it. Therefore, you can be a holy man, a righteous man, and believe the gospel of prosperity, and we see it, you do the will of God with abundance. That's why, if Pastor W.F. Kumi is preaching, I listen. I do. If T.D. Jakes is preaching, I listen. Because nobody has the part of everything. Nobody has the whole part. Each person has a part. And you see, we'll continue talking about, let me close. There are deep waters. You must go for deeper revelations. Verse 7. So it was beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its branches, for its roots extended to many waters. It must be fed from many waters. You enter a man's house, all the tapes he has is by his bishop. Know that he's not a balanced Christian. He's deficient. There's a particular nutrient. We call it thiamine. That's vitamin B1. Abi, if all your life is balanced, I just take that one out of your life, your heart will fail. There's what we call folic acid or B12. Your whole life is balanced. I take only that one out of your life. You'll be anemic. You won't have blood. Funny enough, if I take one and pump you full of the other one, your spinal cord spoils after giving you initial recovery. Balance is what? The key to life. You can't say I have enough carbohydrates and proteins, fat. I have enough of all of those things. I said, this B12, this cobalamin people are selling, I don't need it. All the gospel you understand, your life will be spiritually anemic. Are you getting my point? Listen, no? Don't be content with just being a Christian by name. My series, what am I teaching now? Go for what? Deep truth. Next week, I will continue from this point, what we're teaching on Tuesday. Paul said something. If you go and read that, Hebrews chapter 5, he said, concerning Melchizedek, we have much to say. He said, but we can't say it. Why? Because you have become dull of hearing. Why? Because he said, there's a time when you ought to be teachers. Verse 12, Hebrews 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. I said on Tuesday that there's an expectation for the chronology of your life as a Christian. If you have been a believer for a long time, and you still go to church, they say young converts class, and you still go there, something is wrong with you. It's not the going there that I'm saying, no. It's the necessity to go there. You are spiritually stunted. What God is saying is this. If I enter a church and I say, how many people have been Christians for 5 years here? Without asking further questions, I should be able to put you in charge of Bible classes. But these days, no. I hear of Christians that were Christians for 20 years. Then when they are sick, they go and collect T.B. Joshua's photo and put it on the wall. I know T.B. Joshua has his personal problems. He's not a Christian. But no matter who it is, have you been Christian for a long time, nobody's picture belongs on your wall as a source of blessing. Any picture on your wall is admiration. So you can put your wife's photo, your son's photo, your pastor's photo, and if you like baboon, you can put baboon photo there too. It's true. There's no anointing from anyone. Any Christian of a certain number of years that's still looking at picture is idolatry. Is idolatry. Is idolatry. Listen, I find it funny. Sometimes I'm in places. A man finishes razzmatazz. So who's going to come forward right now and tap with this anointing with a great generous offering? Once I see you stand up, I hope you give your life to Christ last year. If you are more than 5 years a Christian, I lose respect for you on the spot. It's one of two things. Either something's wrong with you, or you cannot stand the pressure. You know, you're a big man. If you don't stand now, both of them, the same thing. At this my level in life, nobody, God please, may I not backslide, nobody will use to get a dime out of my pocket. And if I want to give you a dime, I'm standing up. Tell me, why don't you want to stand? It says in the Bible. That's what my left pocket is doing, not to my right pocket. Listen, chronology, that is the number of years, God expects it to add maturity to you. If you are not maturing after you've been a Christian for years, then you have been negligent concerning your spiritual growth. You have thought all you needed to do. Next time I'm going to talk about it. You have thought all you needed to do was just go to church and come back. No. You know when children don't want to eat? You know what parents do? They use carrot and stick. If you finish your food, I'm going to give you this chocolate. You go put it on there. The pigeon go look the beans, look the chocolate. This beans is endurance. But that chocolate is a reward. For the joy that set before him, he will endure the beans. But the parent knows that the beans is necessary for balanced development. Finish your soup. You don't finish it, you hold the cane. 2 strokes. The guy doesn't like this soup. This vegetable inside, why should he eat it? It's not sweet. But to avoid this punishment, he will chop up. Why? You know it is necessary for his spiritual, for his physical development. Listen, spiritually, it's like that also. There are times the food you need is not palatable. You buy a book, the grammar is bad, but it still has anointing, you will read it. As a tape, as a, you know, as it's going on, yeah, crew, microphone will break. See, this peace ministry says, can't they recall properly? But you still stay there. Why? You need that word to balance your spirituality. What am I saying? It takes discipline. It takes discipline. This affliction of Manchester United, Barcelona, Chelsea, that will not allow some people to go and hear the word of God. May God deliver you from it. Football is good, though. After you have eaten the word of God and you are full. If you have spare time, just watch 22 overpaid adults running after a plastic ball that did not offend them.